With virtual gaming being a way of life today, educators have learned to incorporate interactive gaming techniques into adult and on-the-job training to make the lessons more interesting and memorable and applicable. So today's TAG Talks food safety guests have applied this technique to create a food safety training toolkit for produce farm workers, focused on an understanding of risk assessment and its application to the role of every farm worker. So I'd like to welcome two of the developers of Produce Trainer, TAG Senior Manager of Food Safety, Dr. Angela Ferrelli Gruber, and University of Maryland Senior Family and Consumer Sciences Extension Agent and affiliate to the Department of Nutrition and Food Sciences at UMD College Park, Dr. Shauna Henley. Welcome, Angela and Shauna. So today we'll be talking about both training in general and your program in particular. But let's start with the whys and hows of training. So, Angela, why is training so important, and what is critical for adult and on-the-job training?
Thanks so much, Lisa, for that question. And thanks for having us on the podcast. Training is so important, especially for produce farms, because workers who work on these farms, a lot of times they're the last hands that touch that piece of food before it goes to the consumer. So appropriate training to that person is really a benefit to the farm organization that everybody on the front line is working food safe. Aside from that, training of workers on the farm is a regulatory requirement for the produce safety rule. So everyone has to be trained to be able to perform their specific duties on the farm. And they have to also be able to spot when specific things are not safe related to their harvesting baskets, making sure that they're appropriate to use before going out to the field, and also getting trained to make sure that they are not harvesting anything that could likely be contaminated.
So, given all that, how did you apply that to in the produce trainer?
Oh, thanks so much. So we applied that in the produce trainer by taking a sort of risk assessment approach to a couple of short trainings that are online. We also made them so that someone could train them offline as well if you don't have access to the online versions of them. So we made three short little trainings. One is sort of an I spy sort of training. Another one is trying to put different activities in sequential order to be the most food safe. And then the third one is a scenario-based decision-making lesson. So people go through a typical day on the farm and have to make choices that are food safe. So how this kind of rolls into how people get trained is, in training someone about their specific duties and how to be safe on the farm, training folks about what risk assessment is, how to spot a hazard, and how they can work to reduce risk of that hazard and work safe is a really important piece of being a farm worker that at the time when we were developing this training, there weren't a lot of specific focuses on that and other trainings that were available that were also specific to our small and diversified farmers that we have on the East Coast and in Maryland specifically.
Okay, so one more. We'll start with you, Angela, and then Shauna, anything you have to add? Let's go ahead and take a step backward. Can you tell us the story of the development of Produce Train? How did it come to be and why?
Yeah, of course. So when I was at the University of Maryland and I was working with Shauna, we saw this potential gap that was going on farms where University of Maryland and Maryland Department of Ag were going out to produce farms and taking a look at how well they were aligning with the produce safety rule. And farms were doing pretty well, but there were a good number of farms who were still having trouble with that training on specific farm duty aspects of the rule. And so we thought that that was a real opportunity to combine our expertises together and create a resource for farmers that they could use in Maryland that would be tunable, to the area that we're at, that really meets the need, meets people where they are.
Yeah, and for us, we also wanted to make sure that, again, we were being true to our very small and small farms here in the region. But again, it could be something that was addressing a lot of needs that were coming up at the Northeast Center for Advancing Food Safety, or NECAF's annual conference. So that meeting, similar to the other regions, is where all the land grant universities, industry partners, federal partners or state partners come and talk about what they're seeing. And a lot of the issues that we saw on Maryland farms were the same things happening throughout the Northeast region. So even though we were taking a local approach, where we have more of that, I'll say, global mindset that it can be used in other states and other parts of maybe the world even.
So then, once you started developing drafts of your training, you followed that up with surveys from the farms and gathered their input, correct? What kind of feedback did you get?
Yeah, so for the techniques that we used, we tried to apply kind of, oh, maybe some public health kind of intervention approach. You do the needs assessment, you identify what are those big ticket items that we can hopefully address through an intervention, creating those materials, testing it within a subset of our farming population. And then we're getting ready to really launch it to do a fuller, more robust evaluation. But when we were looking at the needs assessment, originally we thought, you know, COVID is still a thing in 2021, 2022. Did that affect how growers are training workers? And is that going to carry over for future years? We also wanted to get an idea of what kinds of materials do supervisors want? And we also decided that we need to see if how a farm owner or supervisor is going to respond to the same set of questions the same way growers would. So we did parse out both sets at the beginning. And, you know, everyone wanted those short trainings. For us, we saw that English language was more of a priority. And people still had knowledge gaps about drop covered and some of those basic pieces that the produce safety training does go through, and just either got lost after the class and we wanted to reinforce. Oddly enough, COVID didn't really change how growers were training workers, and that might have been because they were considered essential. So it probably didn't shift how you're training workers. Sure, there might have been other trainings, maybe with online platforms and some delivery pieces, but in terms of what the requirement is for worker training, we didn't see so much of a COVID disruption.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting. But so from doing all that, as Angela discussed just a little bit earlier, you did develop a practical hands-on training, and it does primarily focus on Maryland and the East Coast hazards and risks, but takes an interactive bird's eye view of potential food safety hazards, walks step by step through working with farm animals, and focuses on decision making during harvest to reduce food safety risk. So, kind of given all that and that various areas that you covered, why is it important for all the farm workers to really understand risk assessment and to apply it in their works?
Being able to identify risks and hazard, it's a skill set, and we think that that hasn't been developed enough as a muscle memory for some of these workers. In addition to building that risk assessment skill, we also know a huge piece is going to be communication of your workers to communicate that with the next person, whether it's your supervisor or boss. And other layers of this project was to make sure we have a food safety culture. Other things that were novel in our approach is creating a supervisor manual to help coach maybe newer managers or even more senior, but just need a quick refresher, some of the best practices to teach and educate their workers. Because we know that workers can be high school students, college students, or anyone else under the sun. So we did did have the challenge of trying to figure out how can we make materials that can be accessible to everyone, as well as short and specific, because again, time's money, and you know you're going to lose people if a training session is too long.
Or
Angela, would
non-specific.
you have anything to add to that?
No, 100%. And we also wanted to be sensitive to the fact that folks were yearning for media that looked like the area that they're farming in. So we tried to we actually went on a few farms and got a lot of video and pictures to be able to inform the animations that are in our lessons so that they speak more to an East Coast farmer or a small diversified farmer. And we did think that that was a really important point to, if people can connect with the media, that's just one more thing that helps them, sit down, take the course and maybe learn a little bit something from it,
And
That's
even
why you
pulling,
chose to use. I'm sorry.
oh, I was going to say, even pulling from other areas of food safety, especially if you're thinking at preventive controls for human foods, we know that some of the largest outbreaks or fairly sizable outbreaks have been because something small was gone unnoticed. And if that worker or employee just saw maybe that small crack in the wall that would have prevented listeria, it would have saved millions of dollars. And we know for a lot of the small and very small farms, a huge recall like that could sink their business.
Right.
So again, we want to nip in the bud small risks or small hazards before they blow up in the organization's face.
So to do that, you provided supervisors with lessons that can be standalone or sequentially followed based on their own particular needs. So tell me about that a little bit.
Yeah, so we made a train the trainer manual to go along with these lessons, and it's exactly as you kind of described it. The goal there, it's a hefty manual. It's big, but we hope that it has something in it for like whatever audience, no matter how much time or little time you have to do the training. So we set it up so that each training we provide a lesson facilitation guide for if you have 5 minutes to do a training, if you have 10 minutes to do a lesson, or if you have a little bit more time to do the lesson. And in each one, we say what the main takeaway is for lesson one, lesson two, lesson three. So if you even only have 5 minutes, sit everybody down, get the main takeaways, go through something of lesson one so that it's productive. And then if you have a little bit more time, we provide, additional questions to sort of ask, discussion questions, exercises to be able to put that more hands-on component in there. So we really provide that as a multifaceted resource, but we say up front, there's no expectation to digest this whole manual in a season. It's kind of just like a living resource, and we want facilitators to take what they need now out of the resource. So whether that's be just getting people through lesson one, the eye spying hazards on the farm, if that's your goal for the season, that works for us, right? So take what you need now and then leave what you don't need right now till next season, because we all know that we're really busy. And we tried to write this manual in a way that kind of speaks to that and facilitates building upon lessons if you need to. But if you need to go standalone, each one will work as a standalone as well.
Are there other resources in that toolkit that to help the trainers?
Yeah, there's a good appendix. We've got a great appendix in the back. We reference the produce safety rule, additional, links and things, and we reference some good links to University of Maryland Extension. Shauna, what else do we link to in the appendix there?
Let's see, we have our SOP blank matrix. So if you want to add more visuals, you can do so. If you want to do just a very short numbered 1 through 8 kind of list that could be used as maybe signage at some point. You have that flexibility. Like Angela said, we do have some templates from the Produce Safety Alliance, but obviously you can backtrack to their website for more information. Another item too is trying to keep things webbable. So for an example, we have a table where we have farming, and basically the idea is we do provide some Maryland specific resources, but then we're also looking at what are the national and even federal scope of resources, either FDA, for example. And then looking at universities, we do link to University of Vermont's Clearinghouse for food safety resources. So again, just trying to show interconnectedness between local, state, other universities, so people know there's a lot of resources out there to help them, and we're just one of them that might fit your farm's needs. If not, there's going to be someone else.
Since some of these farms are really kind of far out and may not always have really great connectivity, are there options for printing some of this as well?
Yeah, so our website is producetrainer.org, and we're still working with our collaborators at New Mexico State University. And so ideally, you'll have all the visuals. You'll have the What is Risk Assessment video, lessons 1, 2, 3. Up at the top, you'll have a tab for print resources, so you can print out more bookmarks. As a marketing tool to the online resources, you'll be able to print out what we're calling our SOP coasters for maybe break rooms for fun. And we're also going to have something where if you want to print out the farm food I spy on a larger piece of paper, that would be available there, as well as the supervisor manual to print. So again, thinking of all the different kinds of farms. We know Wi-Fi and internet is an issue still in this country. So thinking accessibility, we're hoping that it touches everyone and their learning or presentation styles as well.
So you also really incorporated a really interesting element in the name of Produce Trainer, spelling train in all capital letters and incorporating a train into the lesson. So can you tell me about that a bit, Shauna?
Oh man, it was Angela's brain power. She was, as she
Okay.
calls it, noodling and stumbled upon a great idea. So, TRAIN is short for Targeted Resources Addressing Identified Needs in Maryland Worker Food Safety Training via On-Farm Piloting of a Mixed Method or Mixed Media Toolkit. So, her acronym was TRAIN. Since we're talking about produce, obviously, we went with produce, and we went with the small lowercase er just because of the supervisor manual. We know Maryland, like many of our states, have a rich history with trains for transporting produce, especially when you think about Baltimore and the port and how we really got produce more inland, and we're still getting goods inland into the United States. So we had fun with creating some marketing tools around the produce trainer.
Yeah, that
Also,
is.
if you notice at the bottom of our supervisor manual, we do have the main train engine and subsequent cars. And so for some of you, I was reading my daughter Eric Carroll's 1, 2, 3 to the zoo. So the idea is like every number adds another car and it keeps going. So, you know, manuals are big, visuals are fast and easy. And the idea is you could quickly look at the bottom of the page and just see, oh, am I on lesson 1? Am I on lesson 3? And kind of know exactly where you are. And again, that concept of here's a starting point of what we've created, but you as the supervisor or owner are still going to hopefully add on to this manual. So you're building something that is specific to your farm and reaches your workers, whoever they may be.
Okay. So, in looking at the site too, I noticed that accessibility was an important factor. So what are some of the key things that you did consider in ensuring accessibility, either Angela or Shauna?
So one of the things that we're still in the process with New Mexico State University, since they're doing so much with different sorts of media, they've been great with making sure we're coming back to that accessibility lens. So our supervisor manual is being reviewed for accessibility, and hopefully it comes back with a decent score and minor revisions in that sense, because it's a new learning process that I think Angela and I can carry forward as a new skill set. But we also know health literacy is important. So making sure people can not only read a message, understand it, and act on it appropriately. So we did have some interns help with running some of our takeaway messages, our objectives through a readability tool, and identify what sentences were more problematic. Maybe there was too many syllables. Our designer helped to make sure that we had decent enough white space between lines, and again, trying to keep as many sentences when we could, one line across. So I think it was a good practice. It's something that we can always get better at. I know Angela loves using words, so it was a fun process of her writing a very good sentence or two, and me coming back and trying to slash a few things based on using the tools that were available. And we even dabbled in a little bit of AI to kind of figure out some of the sentence that I couldn't think of how to simplify, and just
Okay.
seeing what other options were out there.
Okay. Using a lot of resources for that.
Yep. Yeah. If there's one thing I like, it's writing a long sentence. That doesn't come across in a
Lots of
manual.
commas. So you were a good partnership there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the fact that we were able to get Angela back on this project after leaving the university was a breath of fresh air. So, I mean, my specialty is more of the behavior theory, maybe some of the survey development in terms of layout and clustering of ideas. And Angela just had the content expertise of having been on farms and working with the farmers. So we're excited for what we've created with New Mexico State University and the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. I think we've had all sorts of eyes on this to not only boost our confidence, but also hope create cheerleaders out in other communities for these materials.
So, is this available now and where can it be found?
So again, it's live. You can go to producetrainer.org, nice and
Okay.
simple, and you'll be able to get the materials there.
Okay. And we've put that in the description below so that everyone can see that and get to it. So, Angela, Shauna, is there anything else that you would want to add?
I would say go check it out. Train your folks on it. It's specific for produce farms, but if you've got volunteers, it works for volunteers as well. It's a good also like base training to teach anybody about the basics of produce safety from a risk assessment lens. So yeah, go check it out and give us your thoughts. Tell us what you think.
Right.
Yeah, and we are looking to get the risk assessment video translated into Spanish. That's currently in the
Okay.
works. We're still trying to identify if getting the whole supervisor manual translated into Spanish is necessary, because again, we want workers and supervisors to have more conversation. So having things printed in Spanish specifically may not be important, but again, we're evaluating that piece right now, and then probably figuring out where is that funding stream for when we do need to make improvements, having all these resources evaluated here in Maryland in the near future.
So I'd like to thank you both for both your insights on training and for producing this really great work for farm workers. I want to thank all our viewers and listeners for being a part of TAG Talks Food Safety. Be sure to follow us on YouTube, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform to stay updated on food industry trends and food safety best practices. And if anyone out there does have any other thoughts on topics you'd like us to cover, be sure to put it in the comments below. Thanks again, Shauna and Angela.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa.